Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That is Seven by Prince in honor of a Game 7 in the NBA tonight.
Before we get to that, where were you on 9/11?
On the morning of 9/11, we were doing the home inspection for the first house we bought.
Really? Here in Memphis?
And the night before, I was at, night of September 10th, I was at the White Stripes concert at Ernestine and Hazel's, which was one of the more memorable nights in modern Memphis music, probably, for that band to play that little bar. And then the next morning, we were at our home inspection.
Were you working for the Flyer at the time?
Yep.
Working for the Flyer. And did you subsequently write anything about this? Or what were you, like, yeah, did you, what did you, did you work that day?
I don't think I did. I know, I mean, we had some kind of package that we did, but, like, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't really a local story.
Right.
I mean, you know, I was the music and film guy for the Alt Weekly. I don't think I really did anything immediate about it.
Well, I was the sports guy for the Commercial Appeal, and I recall, like, thinking I should do something. I think I ended up going to the blood bank because there was just a line at the blood bank, and I talked to a pilot who was in line to give, maybe I think it was a United pilot who was in line to give blood at the blood, but whatever. I just wanted, you know, it's one of those where you want to do something, and anyway, how many houses have you owned in Memphis?
Two. Yep.
All right, Game 7 tonight. Will you be rooting for the Raptors?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely. I mean, I try to separate that from, you know, what I think of the teams. And I'm quite high on the Raptors just in terms of, you know, what they are as a basketball team. But, yes, I definitely would prefer the Raptors.
And why? What do you like about them?
Well, part of it is they're playing Boston. I mean, I think, you know, haven't the Celtics won enough for everyone's lifetime?
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you root against the Lakers most of all as the most entitled team. And
yeah, that's true. I mean, back when it was the Lakers and the Celtics, not in the Magic Bird era, was more of a Magic guy, but in the Garnett-Kobe, I was definitely more of a root for Boston because of Kevin Garnett. And because they were playing the Lakers. But generally speaking, like, you know, the Celtics have won enough. I like, I mean, the Raptors employ Marcus All, so that's one reason to root for them. Kyle Lowry, I'm a fan of. I think the best, at this point, given what's on the table, the best finals we can get is going to be the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard both trying to defend their title against each other.
Oh, that's a good little... That's a good little series, yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean, it is funny, though. I get the sense, for whatever reason, that the Raptors don't have any great, like, okay, that's a nice little story, but the Raptors don't have any great reach on the American imagination, I guess, is what I think they come across. I'm not saying they are the Spurs, but I think people are, I think they, for the casual NBA fan, I think the idea of the Raptors bores
the
people.
Would be more interesting for people who don't follow the NBA closely. Yeah,
And I think the Celtics would be the most interesting, partly because what you just said, the brand is such, they're kind of new.
Right.
The stars are new. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, like it's a new group of stars, a new coach. Kemba hasn't won at any kind of a level before.
You're, you're really jinxing us here. We're gonna get Celtics Lakers yet again.
I wouldn't hate Celtics Lakers. And here's the truth. The Celtics aren't entitled the way the Lakers are, in the sense that the Lakers can just reload with another great player because they're in L.A. Boston right. can't do that. Boston, because got a history of being a racist city and whatever. It's cold and other stuff. They can't just go.
They build their team.
Yeah, they build. Yeah. They have to. And so it's a different deal. And so I actually think – but I find I'm not even rooting against these Lakers. I don't know why. I guess I found LeBron. I find him more and more admirable, I guess, than before.
Well, the weird thing about this Clippers team, I still think the Clippers are the best team, but there's not a lot of spirit to that team. There's just no real vibe to the Clippers.
Maybe it's because there's no vibe to Kawhi.
That's part of it. Part of it is that he just got there, and so there's Paul George just got there. There's a little bit of the mercenary aspect, and the Clippers sort of as a franchise still don't really have like a personality or an identity, and it all just seems like a bunch of players who are good, and like you know, and I still think they're going to win the title, but it's hard to get you know they don't really capture your imagination.
All right, so back to Game 7. You will be, not in any fervent way, but you'll be rooting for the Raptors, and indeed you believe they will win, partly because you like Kyle Lowry better than Kemba, partly because they've been here and they're an experienced group. The best player? Isn't Jason Tatum the best player on the floor?
It could vary. I mean, certainly if you're picking players going forward, he's the guy you pick. But I don't know if he is all around. I think it's a relatively close call. The thing about Lowry is that basketball is about more than scoring, and Lowry does so many things well in so many aspects of the game that I don't know if there's that much of a difference there.
What do you think of the Box and One? I didn't realize Nurse actually sells T-shirts that say Box and One. Like, that's his thing. People didn't think it would work, but it's one of his things, and it obviously threw Kemba off the first half. He didn't play it, I don't think, in the second half of the last game. But I guess you probably like it as another inventive, interesting thing that they do, right?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, you use every tool you have, but just, you know, obviously you have to choose the right time and place to use them. You know, I think if you try gimmicky stuff too much, like those gimmicks get solved pretty quickly in the NBA. That's why people don't play like the Nolan Richardson style, like 48 minutes of hell. We're going to press you. Like, you know, you got to sort of pick your spots with stuff. But I think Nick Nurse, I mean, obviously last year he had Kawhi. So you won the title, but you got Kawhi. I think this year he's sort of shown that he is that good as a game coach.
It's interesting. Early on, I recall in the bubble, we remarked that, hey, the game's really interesting, and that without fans, it's a different experience, but you don't notice their absence. It's not some great hole that they're not there. And the time we said, yeah, but you wonder if during the playoffs, once they reach this moment of fever intensity, we will miss them. And I got to say, from Game 6, the answer to that is no as well. Like, the Game 6 didn't require fans.
I am surprised at the degree to which I don't notice it, unless I make a point of noticing it. Yes. No, I agree. I think it's working on TV. It doesn't seem to be impacting the players in terms of their competitiveness, in terms of their intensity, and the atmospherics don't seem to be bothered by it from a TV perspective. And I am surprised at how much of a non-issue it is.
All right. Moving on, Lakers win again last night. Lakers D has become a story. Very good. Compare and contrast Lakers D, Clippers D.
You know, I don't have the season long numbers right in front of me. They've both been good. I think Kawhi Leonard is not regularly what he was a few years ago, where he was he was a monster defensively. But I think he still has that ceiling. In terms of a lockdown individual defender, Kawhi Leonard has a higher ceiling when he wants to amp it up, I think, than anyone on the Lakers does. What the Clippers don't have is a big man with the athleticism and mobility of Anthony Davis. And that's sort of the difference between the two. But I don't know how much that's going to mean. I don't know. I think they both have good defensive personnel. You know, the Lakers, when you have guys like Danny Green and Rondo, and I mean, they have guys who are erratic offensively in terms of their role players, but are pretty good defensively. The Clippers have tended to be, their problem has tended to be Lou Williams, that you have this offense-defense question with Lou Williams, where you play him for offense, but he can be exploited defensively. I think given the offensive ability they have with Kawhi and Paul George, they can just not play him when the time comes. But also the Lakers don't really have guards that are going to exploit him. And so I think, you know, the biggest weakness the Clippers have defensively is one that the Lakers are less likely to be able to exploit anyway because they don't have dynamic guards.
When Houston exits, Mike D'Antoni might well exit as well. They have not reached a deal. Do you believe in D'Antoni as a coach? Would you want him to be your, not of the Grizzlies, but whatever, wherever, like, if he lands in Indiana, let's just say. Does it seem smart to you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's a really good coach, obviously. I mean, you know, yes, he's never won a title, and yes, I don't know. I mean, he's never won a title, and so there's been a cap on what he's done, and he's had teams that would be capable of doing that, but I don't think he's ever had the clear-cut best team either. I think you're not going to hire Mike D'Antoni unless you're a team that's ready to win right now, and unless you're a team that feels like you have guard play that can be elevated by him, and maybe Indiana with a Malcolm Brogdon and with a Victor Oladipo hopefully healthy next season. Maybe Indiana is one of those teams where you feel like he can take your personnel and juice it to somewhere that, you know, Nate McMillan, your previous coach, wasn't able to get it. Like, I could see that. I that seems like a reasonable path for them to take.
I don't know if you saw the Michael Porter Jr. clip where he was basically saying the problem with the Nuggets, they just got to get him the ball more. Your friend John Hollinger tweeted out that, listen, there's one really big reason why Michael Porter Jr. fell, and that was his back, but that was not the only reason. How much would like that kind of thing trouble you? If you could right now put Michael Porter Jr. on the Grizzlies, if he's kind of a me quirky weirdo personality, would that bother you? Like how much does all of that, it seems like the Grizzlies pay a huge attention to culture, fit, all of that. What do you make of Michael Porter Jr. in that vein?
That particular clip that clip didn't seem to rise, at least from what I saw, to the level of John's tweet. But obviously John was talking about, you know, different intel beyond just what you saw in that clip. That clip was, to me, sort of a roll your eyes and ignore it and move on kind of thing. But he said there's been other stuff with him in terms of, you know, including some conspiracy theory sort of weirdness.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff matters. I think the quality of the person, you know, matters. I think that's sort of, that was the Spurs lesson sort of all those years. But he is, given the level of his talent and given his youth and given that, you know, at this point, like, you're not, it's not a question of contract yet in terms of what level of investment, you know, financially you would make. Like, you know, if I were the Grizzlies and I were offered Michael Porter Jr., like, here, you could have him, you could have him. I would certainly take him.
Yeah, and see how it goes. Exactly right. All right, and then finally, some news. Shams tweeted out some news on the schedule, said the earliest the NBA would start would be the next year at Christmas. And I know you aren't a fan of a official Christmas Day start because you don't need your Christmas to be devoted to the NBA. But in terms of that broad calendar starting late December, early January, going through whatever August, do you think that's the smart thing for the NBA to do, not just next year, but going forward?
Well, I wrote a couple of weeks ago that I thought the 2020-21 NBA season would be a 2021 NBA season.
Yes, you did, yeah.
and that's the sense I had, you know, a couple weeks ago, that's where it was headed. I think the short term, what they're trying to do is trying to figure out a way to max out games with fans and max out fans in games, right? Instead of going, they've shown that a bubble could work, and I think they could put together what I call an archipelago of bubbles. They could make that work. But financially speaking, I think they want to get fans in the stands. And so I do think they're going to push the calendar back. And to me, the question is, are they going to be willing to shrink the number of games? Because if they don't, it's going to be hard to get back on a normal schedule. I guess I haven't put a lot. To me, I think they need to lower the 82-game schedule and be creative with it in terms of playoffs and stuff like that. I'm more focused on that than general calendar questions. I guess I haven't thought about, you know, what I prefer from a general calendar standpoint, because I don't so much of the rationale is, you know, not competing with football, and I just don't pay that much attention to football, right. So I don't really think about that. I mean, I like having basketball in the fall because I'm not focused on football, and so I like basketball showing up in October and November. I don't, like you said, I'm not a fan of the idea of a Christmas Day specific start. But I don't really care about the calendar as much as I care about.
Do you think there's any real chance
the number and flow of games?
Do you think there's any real chance that they, on a permanent, ongoing basis, in a substantial way, cut the number of games?
I don't know about substantial, but I think they could change the format of the season. And I think what you saw with these quote unquote seeding games, I think was interesting. And I think you could find a way to limit a normal regular season and then expand a playoff in some kind of way with you know, play-in kind of stuff that ultimately would result in fewer overall games, but not less money. And I think there is a way to do that. Do I think they're going to cut down to a 60-game season? No. But could you cut down to a 70-something game season and then tinker with the playoffs and make more money in the long run? Yeah, I think you can.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.